I wanted to have shiur today, because I'm not sure tonight probably is not going to work out so well. Tomorrow night is also, there's like some activity for the counselors and then their days off. So the next couple of days are not going to be so great for shiur. And also wanted to kind of finish off the sugya and kind of, I would say, for the rest of the week, finish off some of the things on your own from this sugya, and then we'll go out. After we finish with shiur, I'll show you what we're doing next. But I think it's a good idea to finish off the sugya at this point. So we just to get back into where we were. We'll wake up Mike with a little review of where we were on Friday. I guess we had shiur. So we were talking about the machlokas rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that a beis haknesset shel krochet, a shul that is a more public shul. The Gemara says that they do not have the people of that city. Do not have a right to sell the shul. On both sides, they can't sell the shul because people come from all over the place. So the question is why. So we had basically two mahalchim. We're going to put it that way for now, leaving aside the Tosos may be saying a third shot, but basically two mahalchim saying either that who has ownership in a shul. The owners of the shul are those who contributed to the building of the shul, either money or in other ways, but anyone who contributed to the building of the shul, so they have ownership of a shul. Now, let's say you have a public shul, who knows where, you know, anyone could have come from anywhere and donated money, and since they may have donated money and they may have ownership in the shul, we can't sell it without their consent. That was one mahalach. The other mahalach was to say that it doesn't have to do with those who donate money to the shul, rather, the owners of the shul are whomever it is, possibly the owners, may not even be considered owners, but the rights to the shul go, or they're dependent on for whom the shul is made. And since the shul, in this case, the shul is made for the rabbim, so the people of the city don't have the right to sell. We spoke about at the end of shiur last time, potentially two ways to look at that. Either you actually acquire ownership because of the intent of the builders, or... you want a jacket, Aaron?
Oh, good.
I got my jacket there. You can warm yourself up. And you can put your arms in whenever do we gotta do. It's colder from the AC, I know.
Yeah.
So, pass my jacket, Debbie.
No, we'll
switch seats. That's good too. So, all right. It's still too girly to pass you my jacket.
Yeah.
Okay, I got that. So, anyway, so either that it's just like a totally different entity that may not even be sellable, or may have, but the individuals don't have individual rights like we spoke about, or maybe it actually belongs to everyone through this process. Now, before we get to the nafkamina, just one more, the next two cases in the Gemara, the two kashas now in the Gemara. First we had Rav Ashi's case, and we discussed that according to either Mahalach, and then the next case in the Gemara, or the next question in the Gemara, is from the Beis HaKnesset Shel Tursiim. So the Gemara asks, we're right next to that Tosos Dibur Maslo Ritzua, if you have the Gemara open. So Tosos asks, Meisvei, Mevakash Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maise Beis HaKnesset Shel Tursiim. There's a Beis HaKnesset of the Tursiim. Rashi says this is a particular craft. They formed some iron, well, copper, okay, thank you. Shahib Yerushalayim, Shemachruha the Rebbe Eliezer. They sold it. Now, it was this shul in Yerushalayim, and they sold it to Rebbe Eliezer. The Asa Ba called Tzrachav, and he did whatever he needed to do with the shul. The Hasam de Krachim Hava. For Yerushalayim, there's no krach greater than Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a major city, people come from all over the place. So, how could they sell their shul to Yerushalayim? So let's plug in the different shittas in the Rishonim. So before you get there, the Gemara answers, Hahi Beit Knishta Zuti Hava. It was a small shul, V'inhu Avduha. And they made it. So which Rishon does that sound like? Which Mahalach sounds a little better with that shul? It's a small shul that they made. First Mahalach, why? They made it. They know it has to be true, but why does it have to be small? What's the significance of being small?
The fact that it's small in a big city.
That's the Rashi, that's the point. So I would say the more pashup shot is to say the second mahalach, because the second mahalach is saying it's a small shul. Since small shul is clearly only made for that group that's going to use that shul, and Okay, that's why they can sell it. That's the second mahalach. It depends on who it's made for. The Rashba, like you guys pointed out correctly, the Rashba has to a little bit bend over backwards to explain why it matters that it's small, according to the first mahalach. The first mahalach again being that it depends who contributes. So who cares? Small, it doesn't matter. All that matters is who contributes. So either small is lav davka, just ignore the fact that it's small, that really is not the main point. The main point is inhu avdua. Or you have to say, Gemara is pointing out, how do we know, or how do we know that it must have been not made by other people? So he says the fact that it's small kind of indicates that. If you have a small shul in Yerushalayim, obviously it wasn't open to the public, and we can assume there weren't random people coming in there. But small is not the main factor. Small is just kind of shows that it must be that it wasn't used by many people, and we don't have to worry about there being donors from all over the world. So that was that. And then we have another line of the Gemara. And the Gemara goes on with another kasha. Meisvei, continuing where we left off, v'veis eretz achuzaschem. So the pasuk describes the tumah of negoyim, and you have tumah on houses, and it's described as beis eretz achuzaschem, a house in your portions in the land of Israel that's divided up. So what does Gemara say? Achuzaschem mitame b'negoyim. It's specifically achuzaschem, those areas that have achuza, that are divided up amongst the people, that's mitame b'negoyim. V'ein Yerushalayim mitame b'negoyim. Yerushalayim is not mitame b'negoyim. Yerushalayim is not considered achuza. Amar of Yehuda, where Yehuda says, Ani lo shamati ala makom mikdash b'levan. He says, only makom mikdash. When we say, really, the Beis HaMikdash and the Chalami, the Beis HaMikdash is not considered a house, an achuza, we wouldn't give tumah to the Beis HaMikdash. However, Bate HaBate Knesios U'Bate Midrashos Mitamit. But shuls and the Bate Medrash of Yerushalayim, they become tumah. They become tamei. So the Gemara asks, Amai HaDikrachin Havu. So the Gemara says, aren't these shuls of krachin? So if they're shuls of krachin, how do they become tamei? That's the Gemara's question. Now just to, let's put the Gemara's answer aside, let's just point out the Gemara's answer. Not going to be so, it's not relevant necessarily for us, for this issue, because the Gemara just answers, yeah, that was a mistake. And really, also the batei, he meant batei medrash mekudash, and really also shuls and batei medrash are not matavim b'negayim as well. That's the Gemara's conclusion. But the Havamina of the Gemara asked, the Gemara said, just like a shul in Yerushalayim, we think at this point can't be sold, so too, it shouldn't become tame. Right? That's the assumption of the Gemara. Tuma is the same thing as selling. Now, how do you fit that into things that we're talking about? The assumption that Tuma is the same as selling, does that fit with the first mahalach, the second mahalach? Any thoughts? So the Rashba, which I don't know if you guys got to, on the Makor Rashid, as I said, we'll have some time this week to chazer the sugya a little bit. But the Rashba is very bothered by this. The Rashba starts with the first mahalach, and the Rashba says, what does the first mahalach have to do with tumah? The first mahalach is just an issue of who owns it. So maybe there's an owner somewhere. What does that have to do with tumah? There's no. What's the connection at all? And then the end of the, he says the end of the second line on the Mar Makomos page, v'im kein, my kamakshim minigayim. What's the question from minigayim? Mida amar Rabbi Yehuda ani lo shamati al magam mikdash b'levar habatik nesis b'levar midrashos. Lo, that's the quote from the Gemara. Didinahu vadai. That makes sense. The habatik nesis b'levar midrashos. Afil b'dikrochem achuzaschem karinan behu. Why is being part of a big city making not achuza? The source for tumas negayim is the word achuza. Achuza just means part of your portion. What does that have to do with a shul being in a big city or a small city? Chor, there's no connection at all. El mishum shut v'delisne hu hacha lo mizdamni. The whole point, according to the first mahalach, why it can't be sold is because their partners aren't here right now. We don't know where they are. But it has nothing to do with it fundamentally being not considered achuza, a very strange assumption the Gemara makes. And therefore the Rashba goes on, and this is why the Rashba ultimately rejects this mahalach. And the Rashba, I cut this off, I apologize, I guess I cut off because it's really a similar shita to the Rosh and the Rambam, but the Rashba goes on to say this, and he has other kashas as well, but this is one of his kashas why he doesn't like the mahalach, the first mahalach, and says the second mahalach. And he says, so he says, since it's made for everyone, it's similar. Well, he really speaks out that mahalach that we mentioned last time, Adas HaRambam, since it's made for everyone. They made the shul for all of Klal Yisrael, so that is, you wouldn't call that achuzaskam. You wouldn't call that a home or a dwelling in your portions of individual homes. No, this is something different. This is a totally different entity, like we spoke about with the Nachamina for Nedarim. It's a totally different entity of a shul belonging to Klal Yisrael and a shul belonging to Klal Yisrael that cannot become Tameh, and then that's really the same point as why you can't sell it, right? According to the Rashba, according to what we said, the Rambam, the Rush, the reason you can't sell is that it's this entity greater, it's not a collection of individuals that have ownership, it's because it's made, it's created for all Klal Yisrael, it's kind of a bigger thing, and in the same way that it's beyond private ownership for selling, it's also beyond private ownership for Tumas Nigayim. So then, according to that, the Gemara's question makes sense. What are we going to say for the first Mahalach? So you have to fall back. I forgot about this Tosos. I was actually very bothered by this Rashba when I was preparing this Mar Makomos Shiva. I forgot about Tosos. You can take a look at Tosos Dibur Masel Ve'Amai, where Tosos asks a little bit of a different question, but is also bothered by this Kasha here. And Tosos ultimately says that really the whole Kasha is a mistake. It's a mistake in Havamin, and really there really was never any connection between the Achuzaschem and the Gemara ends up rejecting it. Right, the Gemara ends up saying, no, we made a mistake. It wasn't really Makdash Mikdash. It was Makdash Makudash, Shuls, and Batei Knesios as well. But Tosos says the whole question to begin with was one big mistake. So you look there, you'll see, and I think with that Tosos, we can also get out of this kasha with the first Mahalach. Now, to wrap up this sugya, Lamai Nafkamina, where the Nafkamina is that come out of this discussion here about how to view the ownership of the Shul. So I want one Nafkamina I have in mind is in something we can glean from how to view a shul in the kfar, a small city shul, and one nafkamina about a big city shul. So, to start with the small city shuls, so, seeing the sugya, who has the right to make decisions in a shul? Based on this sugya, who has the right to make the decisions in the shul? The people are responsible for
the shul.
Right, the people who contributed to the shul. So according to the first mahalach, it's those who contribute to the shul. But according to the second mahalach, who has the authority? What? The Tanya Kahal. Whoever the shul is made for. So if the shul is made for I'm from New Rochelle for the LT. Okay, the LT. You have a lot of other people down here too. Let's say I'm from New Rochelle. People, mostly New Rochelle people, daven in New Rochelle. So the people in New Rochelle have the right to make the decision of the shul. So with the shul, so that would be a nafkamina in terms of who has the rights to veto a sale, or who has to agree to a sale. So that's one. The other nafkamina, moving over to big city shuls, is a case someone threw this out before. Is what's a nafkamina now in terms of, let's say I have a shul on the Upper West Side. It's a big city; people come from all over the place. So my nafkamina, find me a case where there's a nafkamina between the first two mahalchim. Someone threw it out before. What if you know there's one donor or a limited group of donors? You know that this shul was built by whatever rich Jew there is who contributed the money for this shul. Or two, three Jews that contributed the money for the shul, and that's it. And you don't know of anyone else who contributed.
That's fine, though, because if you go back to the shop, these guys are pretty important for money for all these people that come and use them.
They would also have ownership, but the other people would have a say as well. They wouldn't be able to just they wouldn't be able to make all the decisions. You'd have the Gemara, the halacha of the Gemara would apply. But if you go with the first mahalach, to say that what's the issue? According to the first mahalach, what's the problem in the Upper West Side? The problem in the Upper West Side is you don't know who came over to donate. But here I know who donated the money. What? Yeah, the Kedusha Chamur is also a problem. Yeah, Nechanam. But according to the first mahalach, it wouldn't be a problem. Yes? That seems to be what the first mahalach, the Rishonim in the first mahalach are saying. That's what they're saying. Because someone may have donated from Australia, so and he has a right to veto the sale. Sounds what he's saying. You, by contributing to the shul, so you acquire a partnership in the shul.
I mean, it's not that you own the shul, it's that you have a say, like you're the ultimate
okay.
board.
Okay, I meant ownership, I meant rights to buy and sell. So could you sell the shul? So if you had three families donate the money to the shul on the Upper West Side, could they sell the shul? So according to that mahalach, yes, they could, yes.
If someone's donating, if we're going by that, and you're saying someone's donating anonymously, do we say that relinquishes your...
Possibly. I mean, let's leave out practical questions for a second. We'll get back to that. Yes?
Yeah, but the word donate is to use that term, it's like saying something's happening.
Okay, so again,
take it back.
You're right. You can, like, same similar to Aaron's question, you can always have kavana, you can relinquish your rights. And if your kavana is, I donate that, I don't want to have rights, I'm giving it to you to use, you can always do that. But within the Gemara and Rishonim, within how they learned the Gemara, so this would be an afkamina. So the Rashba, actually, if you got to see, the Rashba at the end, he's very bothered by this, because if you say this mahalach, the Gemara shouldn't make such a blanket statement. Based on Knesset Shakrachin, can't be sold. It's not so pasha. It depends on the metzias. It depends on whether there are donations. According to mahalach number 2 or mahalach number 3 of the Kedusha Chamura that we spoke about last time, so then it's always true. It's always true. If you have a Beis HaKnesset Shakrachin, a public shul, it's always going to have that status. The Rashba, in fact, rejects. That's also another one of his kashas and why he rejects first mahalach Loran. Yeah.
Got it.
Whether you can get. Right. Correct. Whether you can go across, correct. That is another nafkamina which you mentioned earlier. According to that wouldn't be nafkamina between the first two mahalchim. Probably first two mahalchim would both be okay with that.
Depends if you rule that the some people say the second mahalach is connected.
Right, but I think even that mahalach, I'm not sure it's kedusha chamura in the sense that I don't know, maybe if you say that. Yes, we were trying to use that term a little bit. Lav dafka was more like it just takes on. It doesn't goes beyond individuals' rights. It becomes of the tzibur. If it still makes sense on behalf of the tzibur to sell, maybe that's still logical. But I'm not 100% sure about that. Could be as well. So how do we paskin on this in Shulchan Aruch and Shabura? So on the first issue, the Mishnah Berurah makes a comment. And where he says, let's say a city decides to sell a shul, so Mishnah Berurah says, we're going to learn actually the next sugya in terms of who makes decisions a little bit in the city, but let's say like the leaders of the city decide to sell a shul, so generally speaking we assume that the people of the city are okay with what the leaders decide and they go along with it. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, if anyone in the city speaks up and objects to the sale, they have a right to do so. So that would fit in terms of the first nafkamina we were saying, in terms of even the Mishnah there is talking about a small city. So in a small city, everyone has rights. That's how we seem to go with it. Everyone has rights. It's not just the donors, and that's why the Mishnah says anyone can speak up and to veto a sale. And on point number 2, the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch's commentary on the tour, he seems to side with the Mahalach of the Rosh and the Rambam. And in Shulchan Aruch, I sent you to. So Siv Zion, the Mar Makom, is going to take a look there. He just writes Stam that Beis HaKnesset Shakrachin cannot be sold, which is like the Rashba said, was bothered by saying you wouldn't say it's Stam. And the Gemara, even though the Gemara says it's Stam, if the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't say it's Stam if there are major exceptions. So one possibly can be Medayik. The Shulchan Aruch agrees with the Rush and the Rambam Mahalach, which makes sense. The Shulchan Aruch generally follows the Rush and the Rambam. If you have them together. And so, that's why the Shulchan Aruch makes no distinctions about whether we know who the owners are, we know who the donors are or not, and it just goes by the fact that it's a krochen, it's a public shul, and therefore it cannot be sold. Just to comment on some of the questions, as a general point to be aware of in dine mamas, in monetary issues, you can always, all the rules in the Gemara about monetary issues almost always can be overridden by your own decisions. If you, you know, let's say the halacha is in a particular case that I owe Aaron money, but if Aaron says, you know, Rabbi, it's okay, you don't have to pay me, so most of the time that works. You can make up your own rules when it comes to, you know, if everyone agrees, you can make up your own rules when it comes to monetary issues. And in that regard, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and Rav Moshe says that nowadays, the way shuls work, all donations are made that, you know, the membership will make the decisions and their bylaws in terms of how to decide how to do things and when a shul can be sold. All that is written up in the agreement of the shul, and the way shuls work nowadays, again, seems to have been different in the times of the Gemara, Rishonim, and even in the Shulchan Aruch, but the way shuls work nowadays in the 21st century, or even the 20th century, as Moshe was writing, is that it's all made meirosh with those agreements in mind, and therefore a lot of these things would not be so applicable in our current standing. But in terms of understanding the Gemara and Rishonim, certainly there's a lot there. Okay, with that, we'll finish off this sugya. What I mentioned, the Tosos, what I'd like everyone to do over the next couple of days, the next year is probably not going to be till Friday, because tomorrow Shir, and it's at night, it's probably not going to be so good. You guys have some kind of dodgeball tournament or something for the counselors. Tuesday, Wednesday, counselors are going to be off for star days. Thursday, everyone's out. So Friday will be the next year, but it's good. It's not bad at all, because there's a nice chunk of Gemara I'd like you to see, and some chunky Rishonim also here as well. So you can go ahead in the Gemara, you can go ahead and just chazer these tosin, not major issues here, but it's just us. You should see all the tosin on the page, so you can chazer the tosin here see the tosin here on this page, and continue until Chavav of Abayz. But before the break in the middle of the page about that Tzitzit Mitzvah, we're not going to start with that, but everything up to that is going to be relevant. So first see all the Gemara Shetosos until there, and then in the next couple of days I'll have, or the next day or two, I'll have Mar Makomos for the Rishonim to see.